Blog Talk Radio.
You know, church has become so commercial until we have gotten away from its true purpose. It has become such big business until we allow people to operate and function as long as they have something to bring to the table. People are now more concerned about recording and living in life of the rich and famous rather than knowing Jesus. But the true purpose of the church is soul business, not big business. I don't know about you, but I would rather have nothing and know Jesus than to have everything and not know Him. You need to confess Him today.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast with Pastor Kimberly Black from Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Do you know Jesus? Did you know He could live in your heart if you invite Him in? After the next song you hear, prepare to be blessed of the Lord. Prepare for a move of Holy Spirit. Prepare to know Jesus in your heart.
Thank you. Jesus will. He'll fight my battles. If I be still, no matter what, we know that Jesus will. Hallelujah and amen. I don't know about you, but I was getting my groove on. I was listening to that song and playing and dancing and praising the Lord, thanking him because we have so much right now to be thankful for. No matter what things look like, no matter how things seem, the most important thing that we can do and need to do is give God praise, glory, and honor. Good evening, good evening, and good evening. Thank you so very much for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast. I'm Pastor Sherelle Pennington. I am live here in Atlanta, Georgia, and we are grateful unto the Lord to have you, and especially you on the broadcast this evening. We know that there is no God like our God. We know that God is above all, in all, and through all. And we are just grateful that you've decided to spend your Sunday evening of worship with us here on the Light of Portland broadcast. Listen, saints of God, if ever there was a time for us to pray, now is the time for us to pray. We have protests happening all over the United States. We have the COVID-19 and people being sick and in hospitals and at home and closed in, and just so many things are happening, and we as a body of Christ must come together and pray. We must come together and believe. We must come together and know that God is going to make a way out of no way. And so we know that because we serve the true and living God, we must at all times not lose hope, not lose faith, not give up, trust and believe, depend on him and lean on him, and know that there is going to be a breakthrough. And I was speaking, saints of God, with someone this evening, and I told them that change is always a good thing. She was saying to me she doesn't like change, she doesn't do well with change. And I said, how else can God bless us except that there be change? And so, saints of God, know that in the midst of God moving, the gifts of God changing, in the midst of God doing all that he does, saints, God is going to get the glory. Tonight, saints, we have just a dynamic show tonight, a dynamic word of God tonight, a dynamic person of that is a dynamic intercessory prayer. And so tonight we are going to begin with prayer. But before we go there, I do want to just give glory, honor, and praise to the Butterfields for providing us with this platform. I want to give glory, honor, and praise to Pastor Kimberly Black. I love her, saints. She is just a true sister in Christ. She is a true woman of God, and I enjoy co-laboring with someone that loves God the way that I love God, that serves God the way that I serve God. And so I am honored to have her at my right and left hand. Amen. And then to Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, who is the presiding prelate of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle and Light of the World Covenant Fellowship Ministries, we give you all glory, honor, and praise. And we want to invite each and every one of you to Holy Convocation via streaming this year. So if you would like to get a word from God, to hear dynamic men and women preaching, dynamic men and women teaching, beginning July the 12th, through the 19th, email Pastor Black at gsmbc@yahoo.com, gsmbc@yahoo.com. Give her your name, your phone number, the church you're with, the email address, and she will get that information to us. We will get it forwarded to the Light of the World, and they will give you the streaming information so that you may enjoy the coming together during the holy time that God has designed for the men and women of God to come together, an eight-day holy convocation that will not stop just because there is the doors of this church being closed because of COVID. And let me correct that. It's gsmbc@yahoo.com. gsmbc@yahoo.com. You send that information and Pastor Black will get that up to us, and we will make sure that you are a part of Holy Convocation 2020 in Atlanta, Georgia, streaming live. So gsmbc@yahoo.com. So tonight, saints of God, we have a dynamic woman of God that is going to do the prayer for us tonight. And then following prayer, we will have our very own Elder Wooten. Our prayer comes from from St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. Our man of God that is bringing the word of God comes from St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. And so we are going to be on fire with the word of God tonight. And so I just want you to prepare your hearts, prepare your minds for the word of God as we begin to go in prayer, because I know that if anything else, prayer changes things. Amen. And so I want you to prepare your heart. I want you to prepare your mind. I want you to open up and be willing to allow God to bring about a change in you. Amen. And so at this time, I am bringing Elder Catherine Brown live on the air. Amen. Elder Brown, you are live on the air.
Amen. Let's go before the throne of grace. Good evening, everyone. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we just thank you today, God. We glorify you. We magnify your name, oh God. We thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to come together in this virtual prayer room on tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, that you are filling the airways right now, God. And we thank you right now, God, because you're a holy God. You're a righteous God. We thank you, Lord, that your protection is all over each and every one of us. We thank you right now, God, because you have opened up a window in this season that we're in, oh God. Father God, you sit high and you're looking low, God, and we thank you, God, that we are not standing there up in fear, Father God. We're facing a racial pandemic, oh God. We're facing a COVID pandemic, God. We're facing a perishing world, oh God. Standing up, oh God, because we know that Jesus Christ is still sovereign and sitting over everything. And we thank you, Jesus, tonight that you have pricked our hearts, oh God. We ask you, oh God, to open up our hearts so that we might receive the engrafted word on tonight, God. Incline our ears, oh God, for our never dying souls, ever living souls might receive a word from heaven, oh God. And we thank you, Lord, that change is underway, God. But we thank you that even though you're requiring to commanding and demanding that we change, God, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But God, we're standing before you tonight, God, asking that this word, God, that when it goes forth, God, let it create a change in us, oh God. We're praying, God, for an outpouring of your spirit tonight, God. We're praying not just for us in this throne room, God. We need an outpouring of your spirit in the nation, oh God. We need a revival in every city, in every town, oh God, every country, God, and indeed in every church, God. I pray, Father God, that no dead churches will survive this pandemic, oh God, but every church, God, will be filled with new life, oh God, because that new life, God, is in you, God. I pray tonight, God, for the unity, oh God, in the body of Christ, oh God. I pray, Father God, that as people go forth, oh God, in protest with the kind of righteous indignation, oh God, that caused Jesus to turn tables upside down, God, let us stand up, oh God, in civil disobedience is, but let it be righteous indignation, God. We bind that spirit that wants to come in and cause destruction and violence and make it look like it's putting shade on the righteousness of Christ that's being exalted through the problems that we are experiencing in the world today. God, we ask you in the name of Jesus, anoint Elder James Wooten tonight, God. I pray, God, that you give the man of God, Father God, clarity of thought, Father God. Give him articulation of speech, oh God. Let that word that he sends forth, oh God, in the name of Jesus, transform us, oh God. Help us, oh God, to listen, to hear what you have to say to the church tonight, God. We don't want to be the same after we spend time hearing your word. Let your word transform our minds and renew our minds, oh God. Let your word change us, oh God. Draw us out of complacency, oh God. Help us, oh God, in the name of Jesus, to stand up for Christ in the earth realm, oh God. Help us, oh God, to speak truth to power, God. Help us to exalt and lift up your name, oh God. And we're praying, oh God, that because of the challenges and the tribulations that we're going through, God, in the earth today, Father God, that people will see Jesus Christ in us, oh God. Let us be the light, Father God, that shines in the world, that your glory will be made manifest, oh God, through each and every one of us, oh God. Father God, stop by Pennsylvania Avenue, God. Touch the president, oh God. Touch the elected officials around him, God, in every town, city, state, nation, country. Touch our leaders, oh God. Give them godly wisdom, oh God. Help them to be guided and led by your spirit, oh God. And I pray, Father God, for a supernatural move, oh God, through the church, God, through the people of God, Lord, that we stand up, oh God, in unity, God. Let people that are us come into the family of God. Oh God, you've opened up a great window. You've opened up a great window in the earth realm, oh God. And I pray, Father God, that more souls will be saved. And Father, tonight, God, we just want to thank you as we prepare to receive this word, Lord. We know that it's a word that we need, God. We pray, God, that the effect of this word, Father God, will draw us into a place, oh God, that the battle that you're going to win, where you're prevailing already, Father God, that we can be the ones that are standing firmly in our faith, oh God. Yes, God, with our loins girded, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, you said all we have to do is do everything we can and just stand. Because we know, Lord, that you are going to win the victory. You are going to win the battle. But help us, oh God, to be filled up with the Holy Spirit, that the love and the unity and the truth of Jesus Christ through the gospel that you have placed in our hearts, oh God, that it will break forth, oh God, so that we can see, God, what you said in your word, that justice truly will roll down like water, oh God, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. God, we give you the glory. Have your way in this prayer room, in this message that's coming forth tonight. And God, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't thank you and ask you to bless, oh God, Pastor Sherelle, Pastor Black, the Butterfields, oh God, Bishop, God, everyone, God, who you have given the vision for this ministry, oh God. We thank you for them, oh God, and we pray that you will magnify and multiply, Father God, their capacity, oh God, to extend your world throughout this nation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Thank you so much, Elder Catherine Brown. We just want to just give God glory, honor, and praise and know that he is able to take care of all things. And we want tonight to be a night that God moves, breathes, and has his way.
Yes.
And so, saints of God, I want you to be prepared for a mighty man of God to come forth tonight. I pray that he would be stirred up by the Spirit of God and just allow the Lord to use him. You guys know that he is no stranger to the Light of Portland broadcast. He is a man of God. He is an elder at St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, and he is just on fire for the Lord. And so just prepare your hearts and mind. Get some paper ready to make some notes so that you can write the visit as it comes forth, as he makes it plain, that you may run with it in Jesus' name. So at this time, saints of God, I am turning over the broadcast to Elder James Wooten of St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. Amen. You are live on the air.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, saints. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Man, I tell you, I am so excited for my sister and her prayer. I'm sitting here, I'm telling the Lord to just regulate my spirit because I was ready to just burst out and start running down the street shouting just in his name. Boy, God is so awesome and so good. If we would just stop and but just reflect upon who he is and reflect upon what he has done for us, we wouldn't have as many issues as we go through now. It's when we take our eyes off of the one that can see us through anything. Good evening, saints, in the mighty name of Jesus. Tonight, I am so blessed and grateful to be here with you this evening, and I come to you from Portland, Oregon, ready to preach this mighty word of God. We are coming out of the book of John, the fourth chapter, beginning with the seventh verse, and the title tonight, if you will, is I want to talk to you about the living water. And if you know anything about just those two words, the living water, that's enough right there that ought to make you shout. But I think sometimes in the course of life and in the course of life experiences, we can forget about that living water and what that living water can do for us. And so I want to talk to you this evening about the living water. And if I had a subtitle or theme, I want to look at the inside out, compassion, not color. Let me say that again. Inside out, compassion, not color. You see, you need to understand as I begin to give you this food for thought that, and you may hear me reference this a few times, but it's not a black problem or a white problem, but I believe it's a compassionate problem. And in this scripture of John, the fourth chapter, 7-5, I think you'll understand where I'm coming from this evening. So let us just get in the word, because I'm really excited about what God is doing, because I see what's going on around the world. And the more that chaos seems to break out, even in this country of ours, even in this state of ours, and I see all of this chaos breaking out around me, it just makes me see God clearer and clearer each and every day, because I can see him and I can see him looking down upon the stuff that's going on and say, if they would just but turn and see my face, huh? Man, I'm telling you. So I just want you to stay with me tonight. We're covering this living water, and John in this fourth chapter tells a story of Jesus when he was traveling back from ministering, and he was tired, and so he sat down by this well. And when he sat down by this well, he encountered a woman. And you know, before he encountered this woman, he sent his disciples off because he wanted them to continue to grow and train in the ministry. And so he had sent them away. So Jesus was by himself. And so I imagine that he was a little bit famished. And I don't know about you, but, you know, given the light of this pandemic, you see a lot of places have closed, and you see a lot of the vitriol and rhetoric that have started because businesses have shut down. And so people have had to look at their livelihood versus someone's life and what seems more important to them. Have you ever been to a fast food restaurant or, you know, when you think about that restaurant, how or why did you choose that particular restaurant? Was it the location? Was it the look of the restaurant? Was it what was on the menu, or maybe even what you probably was craving at that specific time? Was the decision totally yours, or was there additional input? Did you enjoy your experience enough to tell somebody? Did you want to go back again, or just simply forget that you've been there altogether? You know, all of these questions are valid markers and can often play a role in how we decide what we do, or where we're going to eat, or what have you. And for me particularly, I love one of the restaurants I really love, and I've kind of missed in quite some time. They're now here in Oregon, is In-N-Out Burger. And I just, from the time I've had their burger in California, I just fell in love with their food. And for me, In-N-Out is just above everything else. However, I am not driving to Roseburg, Oregon, that's several hours away, just to eat at In-N-Out. Now, I can hear some of you folks saying right now, but Elder, there's one in Salem, it's only 45 minutes away. I understand that, however, again, because the newness has not worn off, they also have a line that is often a couple blocks long, and I'm not willing to go and wait in anybody's line for an hour or 45 minutes or what have you just to get myself a hamburger. Now, if you told me that Jesus was coming and that Jesus was going to be down at Providence Park, or that he was over in Delta Park, or he was in one of the cities. I don't care if he was halfway across the state. If he was in Ontario, 400 miles away, I would drive those 400 miles without batting an eyelash, and I would wait there a week, 2 weeks, as long as it takes, just to make sure that I had a glimpse to see my Savior, because of who he is and what he has done for me. See, the choices we make will often leave or create situations we either expected, did not see coming, or accepted. Whether you take a financial hit or your health is impacted, there will be a cause and effect happening in direct response to your decision. Often our decisions will not only affect us, but those whom we may or may not come into contact with. In the book of John, Jesus had this encounter with a woman that would change her life forever. And I want to just read this passage beginning with the seventh verse, again from John chapter 4, verse 7. It said, "When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans.' Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water.' 'Sir,' the woman said, 'have you nothing to draw with, and the well is deep? Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his flocks and his herds?' Jesus answered, 'Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, glory, welling up to eternal life.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water.'" See, when you can get excited from the word, just hearing the word tell you something, that you already open for the word to be pouring into you. Amen. Amen. And then he told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have five husbands, and the man you now have is your it's not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." It's amazing how God knows us better than we know ourselves. Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading, hearing, doing of his holy and righteous word. Amen. And so when we look at what is going on here in this story, the first thing that I want to make with you is I want to talk to you about the encounter that we need to have with God. The first thing that is a must is we must have an encounter with God. When was the last time you had an encounter with God? In this exchange with the woman, Jesus already knew her troubles because she had begun to speak. He engaged her by asking for a drink of water. She tried to switch the conversation like we do sometimes when we talk and we feel that somebody's all in our Kool-Aid and they know our flavor too, you see. But she tried to switch the conversation to her race with her response over in verse 9. Given the status of this country and the world, problems will never truly get resolved when the real issues are constantly being deflected. You see, sin must be met head on and called out for what it is without fixing it up. The Samaritans were, first of all, were of a hated mixed race and considered to be living in sin. There was no respect for them, especially in public places. The gospel is for every person, no matter what his or her race, social position, or past sins. Let me say that again. The gospel of Jesus is for every person, no matter his or her race, social position, or past sin. Jesus crossed all barriers to share the gospel that saves and restores. We must do no less than what he did to save and restore his word to us. You see, the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Amen. And so with heightened tensions around the country, only way to fix the issue of race is to meet it head on, call it out, face the facts, and create a plan moving forward. Amen. We cannot keep sugarcoating stuff as if it didn't happen. Let me give you an example real quick. Stay with me, if you will. So if you suffered an injury, whether be it from an accidental gunshot wound or a car accident, and you had to go to the hospital and you had major internal injuries. And so when you got to the hospital, you know, and they laid you out on the table, they don't just simply say, okay, you know, we controlled the bleeding, we got the bleeding to stop, so let's just go ahead and squeeze the skin together, and we'll throw on a couple of butterfly Band-Aids, and then we'll let them go on their merry way. No, that they would get a bunch of malpractice lawsuits that would hit the hospital. The hospital would also lose its reputation, and they would also lose their ability to practice medicine. And in other words, it would get shut down. But because that person's true nature and true injury was never dealt with. Oftentimes, what happens with racism is that we turned a blind eye because it's easy for us to simply sweep it under the carpet and then address it issue by issue when it comes, and then just figures that if we don't say nothing and address the elephant in the room, that as time passes by, then all of a sudden it'll simply just go away. While yet others want to reflect and refer back to the Emancipation Proclamation and the signing of that document. And I like to point out that when that document was signed, it did away with slavery, but it didn't do away with racism. It didn't do away with segregation. When the Civil Rights Act of 1968 was passed and they stopped it, discrimination or segregation as it was known, it dealt with that issue, but it still didn't deal with the individual racism and that true sin that still now exists. And every time there is an encounter with minorities, and especially when it's with Caucasians, this issue seems to arise over and over and over again. And I tell you, it will not go away until this problem is met head on. You see, the problem is not the police, no more than it was a football player kneeling during the national anthem. It's not white people or rich people either. It's the sin ingrained within. Since the beginning of time, man has lost his way. We were created to fellowship and serve God, but the devil convinced us that we were powerful like God. We then lost the perspective of our creation and from our Creator and the responsibilities given us by focusing on our own selfish ideals, and our pride grew and grew. In other words, we lost the perspective to care and show compassion for other people because we forgot about our encounter with God. You see, when you have an encounter with God, it is a life-changing experience. When you walk away from that encounter with God, you will not only not forget what was encountered in His presence, but you will be able to remember it no matter what state of mind you're in your life, whatever life may throw your way, whatever travails may happen in your life. But you will forever encounter and remember that encounter with God. But see, when we have not truly had an encounter with God and we are focused on our encounter with man, then we seem to lose our focus and our perspective on why we are really here. Because when we are looking at the stuff in this world because we are engaging with man, then all of a sudden, the materialism, the power, the status becomes more important than our relationship with God. Amen, somebody. And when that happens, then all of a sudden, we don't want to talk about what has happened. You see, like a person that goes into the ER room, when they go in and the doctor, they go in and they do x-rays and they find out what the problem is, then they turn around and they form a plan. And they come together, and then they go in and they execute that plan, and they begin to repair that person from the inside out. And so when the doctor goes in and he begins to stitch up the affected organs and begin to remove any debris or anything that doesn't belong in you and take it out of you, and he begins to use a sterilizing solution to make sure that it's washed out of you and begin to sew you up. Even when the doctor's done, there's still a recovering period that must take place after it has happened because you have just went through a catastrophic injury. When you look at racism, people have to understand that racism is not going to go away overnight because it wasn't created overnight. When you're looking at centuries and centuries of oppression and abuse of a race of people, and when you look at that and that systemic issue, then that means that it is deeply ingrained in people, and so the injury is deep and it requires surgery, and there's going to have to be some sterilization that takes place in order to root out all of that stuff that's been in there for so long. And so what I'm saying to you, saints, is just like this woman was discriminated because she was a Samaritan woman, and the only crime that she had committed was you had Greeks and you had Jews, and they were supposed to be two separate entities, but when they intermarried, they were cast out by both sides and became Samaritans. And so neither side wanted to deal with those mixed race of people. They were detestable to them, so they cast them aside. So it wasn't nothing that they did, but simply that who they choose to love and who they got married to. And so because of that, they began to face a deep discrimination. And all of a sudden, because a man walking down the street because of the color of his skin has to be treated differently because of the fact that he is darker than somebody else, it makes no sense. And I imagine that God is looking down and he's looking at this and he says, I have created you all in my image. And he says, not the black person or the white person or the Asian person or the Hispanic person or whatever your nationality is, not male or female. But he said, I saw that it was all good and I created you in my image. Why are y'all mucking up my plan? Why are you guys twisting my truth and my word, and you are injecting your own thoughts and what you think about this? And so even as we're looking at this situation going on, it's no wonder that it's in the midst of a pandemic that already happened, because it even limits further movement. And so people are having to break the law to be able to go out and exercise their First Amendment rights and to be able to express themselves and their freedom of speech. But yet we still point to think that the problem is the police. The problem is not the police. There's good police officers. The problem is not white people. Although the white race in this country and what they have done to us have gone back for centuries. But I remind people that when all throughout history, when the Underground Railroad was taking place, there were white people helping us get away. I remind people that during the March of Dr. King, there were white people locked arm in arm right beside him. I remind people that there are families that are interracially locked and how they must be feeling right now because of this discrimination. My great-grandmother was as white as a sheet. She was 100% Cherokee Indian. And so I can feel and understand where people are coming from. And I must have felt how this woman felt when she was having this encounter with Jesus at the well. And yet she tried to deflect the problem because she thought this man is going to be like everybody else. But then you must understand that we must have an encounter with God, that when we begin to have an encounter with God, then we will begin to reap the benefits of our relationship. So we first must have an encounter with God, then we can reap those benefits. And so my second point this evening is reaping the benefits. The best thing about an encounter with God is it's available to everyone. Listen, Joseph, the story of Joseph and his brothers can be found in the book of Genesis 37, verse 1 through chapter 50, verse 26. And if you know anything, I'll give you a quick recap. Joseph's father, Jacob, fell in love with Rachel. And Rachel was barren, couldn't have any kids. But before he could marry Rachel, it was custom that the older sister had to be married first, which was Leah. So he took her, he worked for the father, took Leah and married Leah, and she bore him several boys. And then, of course, after he married Leah, he was able to marry Rachel after working for the father for several more years. Then he married Rachel. And God opened Rachel's womb, and she gave forth a son and called him Joseph. And Abraham was so tickled, or I'm sorry, Jacob was so tickled that his son Joseph was born of his wife Rachel, that I think he got sidetracked and forgot that he had other kids as well. Because even though he saw that Jacob saw that Joseph was special and that he was anointed, that still didn't mean that he had a right to neglect his other boys and his other son. And because of how he acted to his son showing him favoritism and not letting him go out and interact with his brothers, the brothers seem to have lost something and that connection with their younger brother, and it turned into resentment. And it only further was exacerbated when their brother began to have dreams that they were a part of, and he began to explain them their dreams. And it further looked like that he was above them. And so when he had that encounter with God through his dreams, this upset his brothers and only grew as their father fanned the flame. This in turn made it easier for them to do the most heinous act to their very own brother. They sold him into slavery. We have to be very careful, especially when we are in a position of authority. While racism was not started with the Oval Office, the flames were certainly stoked into a raging fire. It was always there and simply waiting for an opportunity to break out. Many spiritual functions parallel physical functions. Jesus, the living word, is the living word as well as the written word. We need to use both of them to seek to enrich our lives through a consistent relationship with God. Instead, people in this world often seek the approval of man rather than that of God. Through that course, one's perspective is lost and attention is paid more to physical things and the protection thereof rather than our relationship with God and the spreading of the word as well as the encouragement of his people. We lose our perspective on our calling and why we are really here. So we can have that encounter with God, but if we are not reaping the benefits of that encounter, then we are losing out ourselves. And the only way that you reap that benefit of that encounter is that you remain in constant fellowship with God, is that you engage with Jesus and you engage in the words and you begin to live out those principles, because then it becomes more than just a book, but it becomes the written manuscript for how you navigate the ways of this world down here. And if you knew the word and was in the word, then one would understand that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so in saying that, then you would also know that a man's life is much more important than the possessions that you have. That a person's life is far way more important than your appearance or your status, whether it's an economical status or educational status. But then you begin to understand that the value of a person is much more than the value of materialism. Amen belongs right there. And so we must understand that we must engage and stay engaged with God through our encounter with God, then and only then can we begin to reap the benefits that God has. And when we understand that and begin to reap the benefits for that, my final point is then compassion can be extended to us. So we first have to have that encounter. Then we must reap the benefits of that encounter. And then we must extend the compassion that flows through those benefits that we've received. We begin to freely give to those around us as well. Moses knew this all too well as well. Moses came from a mixed family, and Moses was comfortable where he was being a part of Pharaoh's family, but at the same time, when Moses saw his people was suffering and that his very own physical family was suffering, he knew something had to be done. You see, it's not a black problem or a white problem, but it is a sin problem. And as this country finally comes to grips that there is a racial problem, let your people also humble themselves and seek his face so that the healing might begin. That's what the word of God says. If but my people would humble themselves and seek him, he will begin to heal the land. Folks, let me tell you something. As painful as this conversation may be to have, understanding, as I gave you that illustration in the beginning about being injured and going to the hospital, even when you get healed and you come out of the emergency room, there is still a recovery process that must take place. In other words, you're still going to feel some pain. You don't just jump up off the table and walk out of the hospital and say, well, the doctor fixed me up, so now I can just go ahead and resume my daily activities. place. No, sometimes rehabilitation needs to take place. Sometimes therapy has to take place. So in other words, we first must admit that there is a race problem and a racial issue going on in this country. Then once we admit it, then we will stop putting a Band-Aid over a gaping wound that's been bleeding for centuries and centuries. Then as we begin to turn around and get stitched up and heal ourselves by through real dialogue and everything, we'll understand that even as that takes place, you got to understand that there's still going to be some hurt. So it's not going to be overnight where you're going to turn around and you're just going to say, okay, well, we finally admitted it, so now everything's fine. It's not fine because there was still an injury and there's still lingering effects. And when there's a cause, there's an effect. And so what you got to understand is that because it happened over a long period of time, it's going to take time for it to be undone. And so you got to understand that that's part of the consequences of what has happened. But what you have done is taken the flame out of the room. You've taken the breath out. And so no one can just come up and start pointing to race again because you've dealt with it. You've admitted it. Now you can begin to find real solutions to be able to resolve it so that people can live in harmony as the Word of God intended for us to do. Jesus looked at this woman and he said, "Woman, if you knew who I am," he said, "if you knew who I am," he said, "it would be you who is asking me for water." He said, "because the water I give you, you will never thirst." And the woman said, "Sir, where is this water? Give me this water so that I don't have to come back to this well and draw from this well." You see, when the word is just a word and it's just a book and we don't have an encounter with God, we miss the message and we don't understand. But we are still changed nonetheless. But when that encounter takes place with God, then we realize that the water that he offers us is far more impactful than the water we can offer him. Because while our water is temporary, his water is eternal. Glory, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And with his water being eternal, that means that his water never fades. That means that his water never stops quenching our thirst. It never runs dry. See, the blood of Jesus has flowed down through 42 generations. Jesus said, "There isn't one problem man has encountered that I cannot heal. There isn't one situation that you haven't been through that I have not overcome." If we would just but turn and seek his face, he said he would begin to heal this land. I thank God for the mighty name of Jesus and the power that it possesses, that it allows us to be able to come on this platform, on other platforms, to be able to express our love for him who is our creator. If we would just turn and seek his face, he will heal us. Be blessed tonight. Be inspired tonight. And know that God loves you, and so do I.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so very much for the word of God tonight, Elder Wooten. And I just wanted to make sure, and I want you to go back over the 3 points that you mentioned tonight, because I want to make sure that everyone has them written down. So if you would just go back over your points for me, please.
So the first thing that we must do is we must make sure that we are engaged in God. We must have a physical encounter with God. Because when we have that encounter, we confess to him and let him know that we need him. Secondly, after we have that encounter with God, then we begin to reap the benefits of that encounter. And so once we begin to reap the benefits, it's the benefits of God, not the benefits of this world, not the benefits of man. And then we begin to value him and our relationships more than we do our possessions. And then finally, after we've had that encounter with God and after we have reaped the benefits of God, then all of a sudden, then that leaves us to extend that compassion that God has shown to us, to our fellow man. So we must have that encounter and then reap the benefits and then extend that compassion to our fellow brothers.
Amen. Amen. And that's what Jesus did teach the disciples as he taught them to go out, was to be that light. They spent their physical time with him and had that encounter with him. They reaped the benefits of being able to walk with him, and then they shared what they experienced with him with others. And so that is an excellent formula that we all need to take part in, no matter whether we're black, white, blue, or brown.
Amen.
In that process, we will share the love of God one to another. We would all be family one to another. And so
Amen.
I pray that each and every one of you that has tuned in tonight really will take hold to the word of God and the message from Elder Wooten tonight and really share that. Get it in your spirit, because that is something we've got to get in our spirit, is to be that example of what Jesus came for us to be, and that is to walk like him. And he walked that way, and he didn't care if you were a Samaritan. He didn't care if you were Jew. He didn't care if you were one of the Romans. He didn't care who you were. And in fact, he made a distinctive purpose to step outside of the norm and do something radically different than anybody else would do.
Yes, he did.
And sometimes that is what it will take, is for us to step outside the norm, do something radically different than nobody else would do in order for change to happen around
us. And it's called engaged faith. If we had just engaged that faith and understand that's what it takes. Sometimes you might be by yourself, but if you step out, you won't be alone.
Amen. 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 And so tonight, Elder Wooten, I thank you so much for the word of God. I hope that each and every one of you that have tuned in was truly, truly blessed. And saints of God, know that I am on the broadcast every Sunday evening. You may not hear my voice, but I am with you in spirit, and I am tuned in every Sunday evening. And so I'm just excited that Pastor Black has stepped in this role and has really taken the broadcast to the next level. So tonight I pray that the Lord would bless you. I pray that the Lord would keep you. I pray that the Lord would make his face to shine upon you, lifting his countenance unto you, giving you both peace and prosperity, both now and forevermore. I love you, brothers and sisters of God. I love you, and I thank you so much for making the Light of Portland broadcast a part of your evening. Elder Wooten, thank you for the word of God. St. Paul members, we thank you for tuning in, and we pray blessings. And we want you to tell somebody about the Light of Portland broadcast. Make it a point to let somebody else know that there is a broadcast that is sharing the word of God in love one to another, and that we want you to come and join us on the Light of Portland broadcast next Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until next Sunday evening, you be blessed, and I love you. Good night.